Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Thanks for tuning into Americana Music Profiles. The next episode starts right now.
You are tuned in to another edition of Americana Music Profiles, brought to you by Americana Rhythm Music Magazine and AmericanaMusicMagazine.com. I'm your host, Greg Tutwiler. Let's jump right in to the next exciting interview. Since his 2017 breakthrough album, Find a Way, led to his chart-topping single, Goodbye Will Never Come Again, Kansas City singer-songwriter Bill Abernathy has been on a roll. Bill brings his musical journey full circle with his just-released fourth album, More. He is our guest here on this new edition of Americana Music Profiles. Hi, Bill. Welcome to the podcast.
Hi, Greg. How are you doing? It's been a minute, man. It's been a minute since
it has been. Yes, sir. I think maybe back in that, somewhere around that nasty year, 2019, 2020, somewhere in there, late 20 or early 21, maybe, I think.
You mean back in the day when nobody had anything else to do, right?
That's right. Yeah, everybody sat around and made music.
Exactly. Yeah.
Well, so for those our listeners who didn't get a chance to, well, I don't even know what number that was. I'll have to find it and put it in the show notes. But anyway, let's catch people up a little bit on who you are and what kind of journey you've had. You are in Kansas City, right? Or from Kansas City? Or both?
No, I'm in Kansas. Both, okay. Actually. Yeah, so I was born in the, raised essentially in the greater Kansas City area, and in one of the suburbs. And then about 8 years ago or so, I moved down actually into the heart of Kansas City in an area that's known as the Kansas City City Market. Mm. So it's a cool old place. Yeah, I live in this building that was built in 1880, National Historic Register, that kind of thing. It's cool.
Yeah, that's cool. So if I remember correctly, you kind of had a different journey into the music scene. Is that correct?
Well, a little bit different, I suppose. I think much like a lot of folks, you start out learning music when you were a kid. My family was very musical. And so there were always, pianos around, a few guitars laying around, people singing all the time. I was the baby of the family. So. Mm-hmm. My brothers and sisters were older, quite a bit older than I. So, I was the little, 8-year-old kid that was hanging around watching my brother sing folk music, Peter, Paul, and Mary with a bunch of his friends in the living room, right? So I was that guy.
Yeah.
There's just a lot of music, and I picked it up and started really liked it. And fortunately enough, I had some folks show me a few little, tricks on the guitar and that kind of thing, and played music and did all that all through school, all through high school and college. And then I'm a Midwest guy, man, and the strategy for the Midwest is you get done with school, you get a job, you get married, you have kids, right?
Right.
And that's kind of the standard. And so, though I had played a lot of music all through school and around, kind of all over the Midwest and stuff, I decided at that point that raising a family as a singer-songwriter sitting on a chair in the corner of a coffee shop was maybe not the best way. So. So I didn't stop playing music. I certainly didn't stop writing music. But I got a job, and fortunately enough, that job worked out pretty well for me. And I worked there for 43 and a half years before I retired. And I had kids and raised my kids and built houses and did all that American dream type stuff. But I always had a little room. In the houses that I built, where I would, you know, just sit down with my guitar and write down a few ideas and that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
My kids, my son and my daughter, were very, very athletic, and they played baseball and softball all the way through college. My son played a little bit of pro ball.
Oh, cool.
And if you're familiar with that lifestyle,
yeah.
You know, you're going to practice, you know, you're driving all over the United States and sometimes in Europe, going to ball games and that kind of thing. And so there just wasn't a lot of time, right, to really, really go hard into music. And so I love doing that, by the way. I've heard people say, do you regret it? No, I certainly don't. Mm-hmm. You know, my kids had a great life, and they got to chase their dreams
and
do all the things that a lot of people just dream about, really. And so when they got done with college and all that, I looked in a drawer one day and saw a whole bunch of ideas for songs that I had written down, and sat down and started finishing them up. Went into a studio with some friends and made a pretty rough, really, pretty rough first album. But there were a couple of songs on that album that got a little bit of attention. And so, you know, the process began, right? And so that was in 2014, I think, is when we really started working on that very first album. Mm. And it came out in 15. I had another one that came out in 16, another one that came out in 18. The EP that you and I chatted about the last time came out in 20, and now we've got more, which came out in September of 2023.
Yeah, wow, that's cool. And reading through some of your press material along the way, you've actually your music has reached certain levels of success that chart success and some attention from different folks. What was that like to be able to pick an old dream back up and pursue that and actually have it grab attention and pull people in to the point that you were able to see success with it that way?
Yeah, it's really kind of surreal, to be honest with you. So, you know, when we first, you know, everybody has that dream, right? The first time you hear yourself on the radio,
right? Yeah.
that's a surreal moment, man. When you're driving along and all of a sudden, hey, wait a minute, that sounds kind of cool. And you turn it up and it's you, right? That's a moment. That's a moment, you know. And then, you know, other things that are kind of, you know, seminal moments. The first time I saw myself on a billboard, that was a big deal.
Oh,
you
know, sure.
That was a cool thing. Yeah, you know,
that is cool.
The first time that you have a song that really, really does well was a song off my Findaway album that was called Goodbye Will Never Come Again. And it actually hit number one on the Roots charts in the United States and hung out there for a while. Crossing Willow Creek album actually was charting on album charts for almost 2 years. I mean, it's crazy how long it went on. Then the EP, you know, had a couple of hits on it that did really well, got some number ones on some iTunes charts and that kind of thing. And now More, though it's relatively young, is doing really well, right? Really, really well. So our first single that we released from More was a song called Hideaway that, again, hit number one on the iTunes charts and has been in the top five of pretty much every independent music start. A music chart. We got a single out now called Their Name that I just found out last week, actually just a couple of days ago, that it hit number one on the independent music chart. And it's a cool thing, you know. I mean, how do you know, right? Now we've released the third single, and I think it's third week, I believe, being released to radio, and it's doing really, really well. So yeah, it's cool. You know, anytime that you can pull up a national or international chart and see yourself listed, around people or, you know, sometimes ahead of people, which is a cool moment, right? Like Taylor Swift and Billie Eilish and Usher, those guys, that's a moment.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
That's a moment. So you sit back and you go, how do you deal with this? You know, at 66 years old, you kind of look at it and go, yeah, that's cool. That'll be something my grandkids can remember.
Right.
So it's cool. It's a cool thing, man.
Yeah, that's cool. That's cool. So it sounds like there's about a 10-year span from when this kicked off for you to where we are today. How has the music changed for you? How is there a noticeable difference in your approach, and can you tell the difference between the first one and this latest album?
Well, yeah, I think that you learn, right? You learn. So, you sure. know, when we went into the studio to make the album that we called Changes, which is pretty much a pure acoustic album, right? Mm-hmm. You know, I hadn't been in a studio in forever. And so, you know, the technology's changed. People change. You don't know, you know, all the musicians. And, you know, it takes a bit, right? Mm-hmm. And then, when we followed that up with Find a Way, it's a much more produced album, right? And so you learn to hear different sounds in the song. You know, I'm a guitar player. I'm just an acoustic guitar guy, right? Mm-hmm. And you know, you learn to hear different sounds and maybe different feels in the music when you know what kind of options you have out there. And then you know, the Crossing Willow Creek album, you know, it did great. And it's interesting actually how it came about. I was getting ready to do a concert. It was a benefit concert for a kids group. You know, I'm kind of big on playing benefits and all that, and, mm-hmm. and helping youth groups raise money, you know, for their mm-hmm. various projects and mm-hmm. stuff. And this was a really cool one. You know, they were going to build a youth center and it was going to have a music studio in it, and they were going to bring kids, you know, in after school and teach them, you know, and let them experience some of the things, maybe keep them out of trouble, mm-hmm. you know? And so I was getting ready to play this show, and I thought, well, you know, this would be cool. I mean, there's going to be a lot of people here. Maybe I don't play it solo. Maybe we do a band, mm-hmm. you know? And so mm-hmm. I called the guys that I recorded with, and I said, hey, you guys want to do this? And they said, yeah. So we get back into the studio, and where they had to learn other songs, you know, I mean, it was going to be a longer show than just one record. Right.
Right.
So, as we were going through the older songs, right, some of them were some of these pure acoustic songs that we had recorded on the first record. And as they started playing them, and I thought, yeah, this is cool, right? This is fun. They're hearing things and doing things that I'd certainly never thought of.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, that kind of evolved eventually into the Crossing Willow Creek album. So, it's just... It's a cool thing. It's a cool thing. Music is kind of magical.
Yeah, and, for sure.
You know, to get to do that kind of thing is pretty special. Yeah.
Your sound, if you want to call it signature sound, that there is a sound in your music that's unique to you. Is that intentional? Is that just what came out? Have you identified a flavor about your music that you try to stick with?
No, actually, I try to avoid that.
Okay.
So, I kind of am who I am, and, you know, I'm older, and, you know, so you're not going to be able to, you know, skyrocket into all the ultra high levels of vocals and all that thing. I mean, it just doesn't happen, right? And so, mm-hmm. and then when I write in different styles.
Okay.
Right. You know, I try to write in multiple genres because to me, that's fun. And I think, you know, I'm a lyrics first guy. You know, I write the song, I write the story, I write what I want to say, mm-hmm. and then I figure out what genre of music would maybe be best to make that palatable, you know, to
sure,
the people that
okay.
are going to listen to it and interesting. So, I try not to be the same all the time. I try to mix it up. More album actually has about six different genres of music in it, mm-hmm. which is kind of cool.
I noticed, you know, that.
Fun. Yeah. Yeah. It was kind of fun. We go all the way from rock to pure acoustic, and you know, everything in between. And probably my greatest thing about this album that I really enjoy is we actually have a song on here that's done in yacht rock genre, which is, you know, that's fun.
Yeah.
That is fun to do.
Yeah, in listening through the tracks, I mean, I heard everything from Jackson Browne to America to Jim Croce to Pure Prairie League. I mean, that whole 70s, 80s kind of feel-good yacht rock, if that's the theme you want to use. But it all kind of fits in that Americana folk rock 70s, 80s kind of... there's an experimental sound about some of that. You know, it's the new technologies were starting to come on board. Analog was transitioning to digital, and there was even one song in there. I don't remember which one it was. It almost started out like a Styx song, you know. So it's all those really cool feels in your music. So that's cool.
You know, when we recorded that album, it was in a brand new studio that I'd never used. Right.
Mm-hmm.
The studio that I'd used for years, the guy retired and closed. And so I didn't know, you know, I knew their room. Right. So for me, my acoustic guitars are my thing. Right. And mm-hmm. so if the room sounds good with my acoustic guitars in it, then, you know, I'm a fan. But mm-hmm. I didn't know the engineer. I didn't know the producers. I didn't know any of the musicians. Right.
Right.
So it's fun to get in the studio and just turn the guys loose, you know, mm-hmm. turn everybody loose and mm-hmm. say, hey, what do you think about this? What would you do here? And that's where some of the more interesting songs, you know, I think that on the title cut more is there are some things on there that we did with guitars that actually sound like whale sound.
Yeah,
you know, whale songs. Uh-huh, uh-huh. It kind of sounds that way, you know, and it's got a bunch of production and strings and, you know, all this stuff. But you know, that's what makes it fun.
Sure.
Right? I think the cool thing is you can get all these, you know, really fantastic musicians that I get the opportunity to record with, and get their input, get their ideas, and it's fun. It's fun and it's cool.
Yeah,
it's cool.
So this one, More, came out, I think, in December. Is that right?
September 29th.
Oh, September.
I looked it up before the interview. I looked it up. September 29th.
Yeah, okay.
That was the release date.
Yeah. All right. So it's been out a little while. What's on the horizon? What do you, how long do you ride this one before you start thinking about what's next?
Well, you know, I'm a songwriter, and so I'm an inspiration songwriter, mm-hmm. right? So I have to have something trigger, you know, that inspires me to sit down and write. And so for me to say, oh, well, you know, we're going to crank out another album in a year, that's probably unrealistic. And so it really depends on what, you know, fires me up. So, mm-hmm. You know, we are in an election year. That ought to fire you up.
or make you run for the hills and bury your head in the sand.
Well, exactly. You know, and I do have a couple of what I call my social statement songs on the More album. So. Uh-huh. The plan, at least my plan, for this one is to, as I've done in the past, release three singles, see how they go, right? See how they work and uh-huh. you know, how they're received and all that. And then, I'm starting to plan now, what I would call, I'm 66, right? So I'm not going to go out on the worldwide tour. That ain't happening.
Right.
I'm thinking about it, you know, doing some, you know, I mean, maybe 8 or 10 shows at different places uh-huh. across the U.S., you know, based on who wants me to come and play.
Sure.
And that would be fun. That would be a fun time. I haven't done that since pre-COVID. My last tour was right before COVID. Right. So maybe it's my fault. Maybe my tour brought on COVID. I'm not sure. But I'm thinking about doing that. And of course, you know, when you're a writer, you're constantly, you know, writing, you write things and you know, and I'm not one of those guys that everything that I write is golden. Right. So, I write things down. I look at it 2 or 3 days later and I go, really, really, Bill, that just sucks, man. So it takes a bit.
Sure.
A bit.
Yeah. So what's the best way for your fan base to, or new folks, people that don't know you that are listening to this interview and they want to check out the new album and maybe see where you're going to land this summer when you tour? How do you like to communicate with your folks?
Well, you know, social media is a thing, right?
Yep.
I mean, it's a great tool. And of course, you know, I use all that, you know, Facebook and Instagram, X and you know, all the other ones, right? But the, I actually do believe that the best place to go is just my website. I keep it relatively updated. And it's just BillAbernathy.com. So okay. It's really easy to find. But on that is, you know, not only all the social media links and, you know, when I tour, there'll be schedules and calendars and stuff out there. But it's also got a lot of information on there regarding, you know, album reviews, interviews, that kind of thing. So, you know, if you're really interested, then that's a good place to start is BillAbernathy.com.
Awesome.
And if you can't figure out who I am through all that, then you can always just call me, man, you know.
So. There you go. Okay. We will not publish your number. I don't want to take responsibility for that one.
Well, I actually think, you know, I got in trouble for this. I actually think that it is available on my social media stuff. So
probably, I just don't. I'm not going to be the one who did it.
Well, you know, I'll be honest with you. When I get calls, which I get a lot, you know, as everybody does, right? If I recognize the number, you got 10 seconds.
Yeah,
right? I'm going to answer the phone and say, "Hi, this is Bill." And if you don't respond, you're blocked.
Just, yeah, there you go.
You know, I don't need the robo calls.
That's
right.
Right. So, that's right. Yeah. Well, thank you, Bill, man. I enjoyed catching up with you, and I'm glad to hear that the new album is going along really well. And I wish you success with it still before you're done and out on the road this summer. So we appreciate you taking the time to talk to us.
Yeah, man, I appreciate you taking your time to give me an opportunity to talk about it. You know, it's always fun. We've had great conversations in the past, and this certainly was a nice one as well. So appreciate you taking your time, man.
You bet, man. I enjoyed it and love to do it. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks again for tuning in to this episode of Americana Music Profiles. Find us on iTunes at Americana Music Profiles and on the internet at AmericanaRhythm.com.
It's NFL draft season, and that means it's time to start thinking about fantasy football. FantasyPoints.com features industry-leading experts and prognosticators using proprietary hand-charted data to help you score more fantasy points. FantasyPoints.com is the place to go for whatever kind of fantasy football you play. Whether you play fantasy football, daily fantasy sports, or do a little bit of everything, Fantasy Points has the meticulously researched content to guide you to victory. And why wait for the fall? Fantasy Points also covers the new spring football league, the UFL. Join the guru, John Hansen, Scott Barrett, Joe Dolan, and other massive names in the fantasy football universe with an exclusive offer. Use code Pantheon for 15% off any Fantasy Points package, including the all-in package, with access to every article, tool, and data nugget that Fantasy Points has to offer. That's FantasyPoints.com and code Pantheon for 15% off at Fantasy Points. FantasyPoints.com, code Pantheon. Score more fantasy points.